tonight on IFAF.
Idaho Falls and Fire and Ice.
And that's just young people in general.
Yes.
They're young, dumb, and full of optimism.
It's like when you go to the dentist and he's got his fingers in your mouth and he's like, how's your day?
Yeah. And the main demon in charge looks at his list and says, it was the Mormons. Yes, I'm sorry. They were right.
Anyone who is expected to be represented by a local politician should be interested in this case because it sounds like there might be some shady dealings.
IFAF, Idaho Falls Local, Independent, Alternative Media, with Mike Nelson and Carly Morgan.
Welcome back, and good evening, ungovernables, outliers, and independent thinkers. We're so glad you're one of us. Hey, hit the like button, subscribe, follow, rate, comment, whatever you'd like to do to let the algorithm know you're kind of, sort of, thinking about committing to the idea of Idaho Falls infotainment, opinion, bad jokes, and dad jokes.
And all the other crap we've got going on here.
On tonight's episode, what are we doing? Oh, more facts about the state that we live in. That's Idaho.
Apparently, there's big change coming to those Costco hot dog combos.
Have you heard about the Pocatello land grab? You should. Every Idahoan should hear about this.
And a full review of my very special birthday.
Including the Book of Mormon behind the Zion Curtain.
And the Grand America.
And we'll have the winners of the Driggs Snowscapes competition. You got to see these. I've been seeing these ads for a new email newsletter, and I have to wonder, is this 2005?
Oh, I mean, like, does a scary girl stand at the foot of your bed if you don't share it with five people?
No, this is one of those, give us your email address, and we'll send you a digest about things to do with Idaho Falls. And I'm actually going to sign up for it to prove myself wrong.
Oh, because I love that idea.
I'm already signed up for one. If I had to give a glowing endorsement for an email newsletter, it would be this. If you want yesterday's news tomorrow, sign up for this email newsletter.
Right. That's fair.
Or if you're a regular person, stare at your phone for 5 minutes a day.
Yeah, on any social media platform.
After
dinner. And you'll see the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't get why that's still a thing that people are still doing and offering it as if it's a service.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry.
I get a lot of emails in my inbox that I don't stare at anyway. What's one more?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it makes you feel like you're plugged into the city.
But you're not, though.
Yeah.
But if you're relying on an email newsletter for information, you're living on, say, I don't know, grandma time.
Well, you know what?
Now, what's this AI I've been hearing about? In fact, let's jump right into it.
Yeah, why not?
Speaking of AI, the reason we're dressed
to the nines.
Well, Carly is
to the AIs.
Right. I got the t-shirt and the sport coat on, but Carly went all out.
I did. I even stopped by Joanne Fabric and made a little accessory for my thing.
We attended the opening night gala. Of the artificial intelligence exhibit at the Museum of Idaho. My experience was, oh, hey, some neat AI stuff. Carly's experience was much different. It was her complimenting other ladies on their attire and other ladies complimenting Carly on her attire.
Which, if you ask me, is the perfect night.
Yeah.
You know, anytime a gal's like, oh my gosh, I love this thing. And I can say, oh, you like it? I made it. That's everything I live for.
Who are our new friends tonight? There was Marley.
And Katarina. Yeah, who had the best suit, by the way. She looked really good.
Yeah.
And Marley looked really good, too. Both of them went with like a black motif, which is always so classic, by the way.
Carly just was approached by, we were both, because I was with Carly.
Yeah.
So we were both approached, but then suddenly I was third wheeling it so hard. It started with, oh my God, you guys, I recognize you from the podcast.
Right.
And then
it was hi, how are you? Oh my gosh, let's be friends. Space.
No, it was super cute. And thank you so much, my good friend Stephanie Lucas. She and I go all the way back to the top 40 station here in town in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
She introduced us to a few people tonight.
Right.
A couple of her coworkers from Local News 8. One guy who was double booked because he came from the chocolate festival in Pocatello. Had I known about that, what?
I know. We wouldn't have even bothered. Just kidding. We would have.
Also, some fine people from the zoo.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of other people. So it was...
Which also, can I really quickly write a not a stripper note to Calvin's wife?
Oh.
I gave him a little hug at the end, and I left a ton of glitter because, thank you, Joanne Fabrics, I'm pretty sure they just spray the glitter on and it does not stick well, except to other people.
There's a trail of glitter out the studio door right now.
You have no idea. I've left it. It's like Galinda. You know, everywhere I go, it's glitter.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I gave him a hug. I left some glitter on his shoulder and I gave him a couple of wipes and I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't want your wife to think anything. And he's like, yeah, can you write me a not a stripper note? And you
here
know
it
what?
Is, Calvin.
Yeah. Well, okay, so my dad works at the Civic and he ends up coming home covered in glitter all the time because shockingly dance costumes have a lot of glitter on them. And the number one joke my mom goes to is, oh, did you go somewhere else after?
Let me see your pocket. You got any ones in there?
Right.
But we're greeted at the front. There was Jeff, the executive director of the museum.
Yeah, with Kim as well from the INL.
Yeah. And he waved, said hi, and said, hey, I listen. And what I said was, oh, great. What I thought in my head was, oh, shit. And here's why. We kind of wanted to be, maybe I'll just never be happy, Carl. We wanted to be not anti-establishment because, you know, we're professionals.
Sure, sure.
But
maybe a little on the side of counterculture.
We wanted to fly under the radar here a little bit.
Yeah.
And here we are hobnobbing with, you know, museum directors and Local News 8.
Yeah.
So do we live in both worlds?
I kind of think we do.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe we are trans-dimensional beings. I'll think of it that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, like Jeff, thank you for listening and thanks for the kind words. We really didn't go out to be complimented tonight, but it happened.
Maybe you didn't.
And I do want to take a pause and just say, you know, because we have, especially if you remember a year and a half ago, we were begging for every like and comment we could possibly get.
Right.
And now we've got it. We've got all of our wildest wishes have come true to the point where we've had to turn comments off for some posts and just go, okay, internet, do your thing, you know.
Right.
Once we do our art here in this room, in front of these mics, and then we send it out and it's not ours at that point, it's yours.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was kind of like, okay, universe, show me a sign. Should we keep this going? Should we keep doing this?
Right.
And now that we have,
go ahead.
Yeah, now that we've made it.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent.
Right.
Yeah, 2,000 followers on Facebook. I think we're currently at 666.
That's what I was going to say. Now that we made it to 666 on YouTube.
El Diablo. 1,200 on Instagram, you know, which isn't a lot, but it's enough to go, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
If we stop doing this tomorrow, there might be some people who noticed. So we went to the Museum of Idaho Artificial Intelligence exhibit. What'd you think?
One thing that I thought was cool is that this has 15 interactive exhibits, and it reminded me of how the last one, the Boeing one, had that one really cool interactive exhibit where you could make your own little aircraft and fly it around and stuff.
Yeah, interactive exhibits are always fun. I'm a hands-on guy. There's a lot of reading if you want to do it. You don't have to do it.
Right.
But they showed, you know, how facial recognition works.
Yes.
And they showed how AI thinks.
Yes.
They had like a flow chart.
Yeah, which
for
I
a
was
dessert,
cool.
I think it was.
One was for a dessert. One was for a striped critter. That one I liked more. And so I got pulled aside by one of the volunteers who was telling me about some of the exhibits. And he showed me the striped critter one. And I thought to myself, how interesting is it that AI sort of has to live in the majority of it? Because all of the animals on there were, you know, sort of the basic striped critters, you know. For example, humans actually have stripes, but we can't see them because our eyes don't perceive it. However, our cats can. So it's
really?
Sort of funny because you look down at your little orange boy and you're like, you little stripey guy. And he looks up at you and he's like, you big stripey guy.
One thing they didn't cover that I think is hilarious and holy shit, did not see this one coming.
Right.
You know how I sometimes like to just dream about the future and go, well, if this is true, what's going to be true in the future?
Yes.
AI is now, so they draw from all the images that it can find on the internet to create a thing.
Yes.
Well, there have been enough AI images created now, you know, the ones right at the beginning, the genesis of AI, that yeah. give you that uncanny feeling, uh-huh. that it's now drawing from those images and is actually getting worse.
That's funny.
Right?
It's I did not put that on my bingo card for this year, dang it.
Think of the movie Multiplicity with Michael Keaton. Pizza, Steve, where his clones make clones of themselves.
Okay, a Xerox of a Xerox.
Yeah, exactly, a copy of a copy. There's a Family Guy episode like that with Bitch Stewie.
There's a BoJack Horseman episode. Bitch Stewie, that's a funny one.
And they both dissolve at the end.
Yes.
And then Brian has to lick it up because he's a dog.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, super gross. But I thought that was a funny, you know, sort of unexpected, that's going to happen now. Like the lines between AI created content and reality might become blurred. I don't know.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought the exhibit was good for people who aren't. If you're a dude between the ages of 20 and 60 that constantly plays with the AI stuff like I do,
right?
You may not be impressed with the facial recognition and expression recognition and voice to text and text to voice kind of stuff. But if you're not into that, or, you know, kids and seniors particularly,
yeah,
are really going to get a kick out of this.
Who is like on Facebook and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not a techie,
yeah,
you're really going to get a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Museum of Ida, for having us.
Oh, and can I say too, I loved all of the movie posters everywhere. Bicentennial Man, Terminator, Her. All Odyssey of the 2001.
AI in pop culture.
Also, their mention of Mary Shelley, the mother of science fiction, by the way, with Frankenstein or Frankenstein, depending on who you are.
Frankenstein!
Yeah. Yeah, I thought those were some cool little additions that they didn't have to add, but I'm glad that they did.
They talked about Alan Turing and the Turing test. And yeah, just I like to get my learn on.
Yeah. Oh, and fun fact, Mary Shelley actually learned to write her letters with her dad at her mother's grave. He would take a paper with them and she would trace her mother's tombstone to practice her letters, which is real morbid. And also kind of, I think, explains a lot of her writing.
Yeah. D is for dead.
Yeah.
M is for mom.
DM means dead mom.
G is for grave. I think there is sort of a morbid, I see it around Halloween every year on the memes pages. Isn't there like a morbid alphabet?
Oh, I'm sure there
for is. For Wednesday Adam type kids.
I'm sure. Well, and speaking of slightly morbid things, we ran into the zoo
Yes.
guy.
Yes, the zoo director. That was another person Stephanie introduced us to.
Right.
And we've seen him all over. You see, you know, the guy. He's the guy at the zoo.
Yeah. But we talked about Bat Night, my favorite night of my favorite multiple nights of the year, but the night all about my favorite critter.
Yeah, and I think that's his pet project.
Yeah.
Pun intended. And he was thrilled to know that you were a fan.
Right.
First one's going to be toward the end of June.
Mm-hmm. And I think for the first one, we have to take Maddie Danger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because when we met up for the Roddy Radio thing, she was like, oh my gosh, I've heard of Bat Night. I went once. I want to go again, but I haven't heard anything since. And I was like, well, you know what, gal? When I hear, you'll hear. So Maddie, here's you hearing.
Mark your calendar.
Yeah.
Do goths have, goths use calendars, right?
Yeah, of course. They're just black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark your black and white calendar.
Yeah.
For the end of June.
In red ink that looks like blood.
Bring old Muskie, too.
Yes.
Dude's hilarious. Seems fun. Quick plug for our bonus minisode that came out Friday morning with attorney Nathan Olson, who's representing the two families, the two main families who are at the heart of this lawsuit against the city of Pocatello and two different developers.
Right.
Regarding the land around the I-15, I-86 interchange. Mm-hmm. And the documentary that premiered last Friday night as well, called The Great Pocatello Land Grab.
Yeah. What a wild story.
So check out that bonus minisode. It's a little, I don't know, off format for us, But it was really great to hear exactly about the case straight from the horse's mouth.
Well, and
Nathan is also in this documentary.
Yes. Well, and also, is it really off-brand? Because I think we're all about speaking truth to power.
Right. And that's not to oversell it, but one of the reasons we'd love for you to check it out is this whole documentary and his appearance on our show was as our very first guest, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if it counts because it was
furniture for him.
Yeah, a bonus episode.
Yeah.
But it's so important to raise public awareness about this. He he gave an example of the court case against the city of Pocatello that he won, where everybody who paid Pocatello Utilities ended up basically getting a check because they were being overcharged. But he said, you know, the city was dragging their feet, working on this thing with us. And once we raised public awareness about it, 2 months later, it was, or shortly thereafter, it was settled. And so that's what we're hoping. I mean, I think he's pretty much, as we understand his story, been shut down by the city of Pocatello. So they're going all the way to the Idaho Supreme Court.
Right. Well, and anyone who is expected to be represented by a local politician who feels like they're not being heard should be interested and invested in this case, because it sounds like there might be some shady dealings, you know,
it in the sure shadows. Does. To the tune of $20 million just through the Idaho Department of Transportation, and perhaps by his estimates, 50 or 60 million taxpayer dollars through the city of Pocatello.
Yeah. So if you're a taxpayer who feels unheard, this might be the doc for you.
It plays at the Real, R-E-E-L Theater in Pocatello. If you're Googling Googling show times at 7:30, at least through this Thursday. Maybe it'll continue. This is part one of what they believe is going to be a four-part mini-series.
Which is pretty cool, by the way.
And Netflix, Hulu, if you're watching, pick it up!
Yeah, why not?
We want to see how this thing ends. We don't even know how it ends yet.
Well, and also, IRL. Can I say, if they can put Hot Frosty on Netflix, which, as fun as it is, kind of sucked, they can put this on Netflix.
Yeah.
And this kind of rocks.
So, Nathan Olson, not just because you're my longtime friend.
And my good buddy.
You can find his offices, by the way, Olson and Taggart, on the corner of 17th and St. Clair. You've probably seen the sign. You are IFAF this week. Crisp high five. 21 finger gun salute. And chef's kiss.
To you for representing the people.
Yeah, stick it to the man. All right, more comments and follow-ups. I don't know what. Maybe I was on mushrooms last episode when I tried to pronounce psilocybin.
Oh.
Really easy.
Well, yeah, but we don't usually...
I didn't know it was going to come up. I didn't practice like I have now. I've also heard it's psilocybin.
Yeah.
But anyway, psilocybin is the chemical found in magic mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, and can I also say, psilocybin, I think, sounds more fun and more like what it should be called.
Psilocybin?
Yeah.
Whatever the hell they are. They're not legal in Idaho.
Nope. That's also, why we don't know how to pronounce it.
Another, I don't know, brain fart / senior moment, whatever they you call them. Juveniles, by definition, are minors under 18. Oh, so sure. When I asked the question about the Jefferson County Prosecuting Office not outing the people who were responsible, according to them, for the loud booms featuring the Tannerite, I said, what, are they minors? Because you didn't say that either. They did say that.
Oh, yeah, they did.
That's what juveniles means. Sometimes,
well, I feel bad for not catching that.
I think of juvenile, in my old get off my lawn age, I think of juveniles as anybody under 25 who can't rent a car.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, no, those are just minors.
By legal definition.
Yeah, that's why they're juvenile delinquents.
Juvenile is.
Yeah.
Okay. Arguments about the fact that Idaho is a landlocked state on the internet. People wanted to debate that, and a few of them had a... really easy, quick Google search, people. People also still want to debate the fact that there's a national park in Idaho. There isn't.
There's not.
1%, 22,000 acres.
Well, and also...
a rounding error compared to 2.2 million acres that is all of Yellowstone.
Yeah. And if you look at a map of all of the national parks and they've got the little red dots for each of them, not a single one of them red dots is in Idaho.
Let's bring up a map now so you can see it with your special eyes. Okay, there it is.
Jeez Louise, people. You know, I think they just really need a win. And you know what? for all you people who just need a win, you are a winner.
You know,
I'm proud of you.
When I see all of those inane, I was today years old when I found out something that's actually not correct.
Right.
That's when I want to argue on the internet.
Sure.
But when we're just stating an easily Googleable fact, like Idaho is one of the 27 landlocked states, or there's 63 national parks designated as a national park by the National Park Service, even though it manages another 319, you know, it takes just as long to Google it and fact check us as it does to argue with us on the internet,
yeah.
Which is why we've turned the comments off on some of our posts.
You know what? And also, did that one guy who was employed by the National Park Service ever get back to you and you said, designated differently? Well, that's how you know he was wrong.
He decided to STFU. He decided to goof.
Good. Sorry, buddy.
Here's to you, buddy. Anyway, but someone did bring up a really good point, which is, hey, there is a seaport in Idaho. Did you guys know this? In Lewiston, there's a port of Lewiston.
Right. Yeah, I did know that.
Lewiston is where the snake
about it a lot, though.
And the Clearwater converge to form the Columbia.
Right.
It is the farthest inland seaport, I believe, in the United States or in the western part of the United States.
Which is pretty cool.
400 miles in. But the reason why we're still a landlocked state, one of the 27, landlocked by definition, if we're going by definitions, you know, national park and juveniles. If words have meaning.
Which I think they do.
Which when expressing yourself, I think they do.
Yeah.
Although it's a double-edged sword because sometimes we hope that you know what we meant when we say the wrong thing. But if words have meaning and landlocked has a definition, that means a state without direct access to the ocean, a gulf, or a bay.
Okay.
And we don't have direct access to the ocean via the Columbia River from Lewiston, Idaho.
Okay.
So there's that. Also, as we were talking about the naval base on Lake Ponderay in Bayview, Idaho, up north there, some people mentioned, oh, I didn't know about that one, but I knew about the one in the Nevada desert. What? And I guess there's one out by Arco somewhere. Does that sound right? Or are you referring to the submarine testing place that they had out by the site?
Oh, what?
Years ago. Because years ago, this town was, I've told stories about.
That's cool too, though.
Having to compete with the Navy guys.
Right. For all dates. The ladies.
Yeah. Having to compete with Chuckers players and Navy guys.
Oh, you poor thing. Especially because both of those groups have really great pants.
Yeah.
You know? And really, that's all a dude needs is a good set of pants, you know?
So anyway.
Shows off the goods.
There might be others that we don't know about. Oh, and people were, so we were talking about things that Idaho was famous for. And did you know the guy who invented the Zamboni he wasn't born here. He was born in Utah.
Okay.
Then he moved to Lava Hot Springs and was there from like age 1 to age 19.
Whoa.
The Zamboni of all things.
It makes sense, though.
Does it? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and now I understand why Checking It Twice placed all of the hockey fans in Idaho. Because they thought, well, the guy who made the Zamboni lived here for most of his young life. So clearly,
did
they
Bear
love
Lake
hockey.
Ever freeze completely over in the winter back in the day?
I sort of wonder.
Got the idea? Also, let's not forget finger steaks. Finger steaks also invented in Boise. Lightly fried little
I love finger steaks.
Pinky size.
Genius, by the way. I thought for sure that was like a Philadelphia thing. Because they had, you know, the Philly cheesesteak. Mm. So like, how far away is that from just, you know, taking those little Philly cheesesteak strips and just tossing them in the fryer, you know? It just seemed like a back east thing. But I love that they were made here in Idaho.
Milo's in Boise, I think, is still standing. And that's the original home, or...
Oh, well, if we go to Boise anytime soon.
It's a matter of some debate whether Milo himself came up with it or he stole the recipe from somebody else, but...
Probably a worker.
Yeah, he either did it himself or made it famous.
Hot.
And our final follow-up, I saw an ad for Transparent Idaho.
Oh, yeah?
You know, the website that we said, great concept, but does the mayor of Idaho Falls really make $48.08 annually?
Also, I'm so glad you picked that up. That was a really astute observation.
But the way the website is it's obviously columns and rows. It's right. a spreadsheet that they imported, and you can view it in the little window for whatever city you choose.
Right.
And so I thought, well, it's either the state comptroller's fault or it's the fault of the city of Idaho Falls for sending a table that was sorted incorrectly.
Right.
Or whatever. So anyway, I saw an ad and I was like, ooh, do I be that guy? And I was that guy.
You were that guy.
I said, hey, guys, great concepts. I mean, it was right in front. I wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to contact the state
Well, and if the CFO ad is being delivered whatever, right to you.
It was right to me.
Yeah.
Targeted right.
Right.
Like, Facebook was listening.
Well, and also clearly you are their target audience. So if you notice something, you should say something.
I like to use things. I like to use products like a consumer.
Yeah, right.
And 9 times out of 10, you'll find something wrong with it because the people that developed the product didn't use it. Like a consumer.
Right.
I get sick of our own podcast because I listen and go, okay. No. Like yeah. This was the first time we had a guest in the studio. Okay. Nate's color correction, the note to self, we used a different camera. Uh-huh. Like an idiot, I recorded it like 4K, 60 frames a second when I should have been recording it 1080p, 30 frames a second.
Right.
29.97 right. NTSC standard frames per second. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just what I do.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah,
his mic could use a little gating and compression, and it's Ooh, not easy living,
Daddy,
with me or as me. Anyway, I replied and said, "Great concept, guys, but double check the Idaho Falls data." They said, "Great point, thank you. We'll look into it." So, will they fix it? I don't know. Probably about the same time that the Visit Idaho Falls experience actually gets a sign that reflects their name change from a year ago.
Will they fix it? I sure hope so.
Looking for a new restaurant for dinner? Feed the whole family at Red's Grill. Red's Grill is a delicious and affordable dinner hotspot.
Enjoy over 20 different gourmet burgers with tasty fries, fresh salads, sandwiches, and more, like the Viking Burger, super stacked so high they have to spear it with a steak knife.
Feed the whole family affordably at Red's Grill, inside the Shiloh Inn, Idaho Falls. Mention IFAF to get 20% off your entire meal. Alcohol not included, you party animal.
Ladies, go thrifting for the new year at Elsie's Closet Upscale Resale, Idaho Falls' only thrift store just for women.
Right now, save on blouses, sweaters, dresses, boots, and jewelry, knit cardigans, layering pieces, and bags, and now featuring Bumble and Bleat Soapery.
Elsie's Closet. Find trendy, sustainable fashion that's budget-friendly. Look for the pink sign downtown on A Street. It's not just a stop at the thrift, it's a whole vibe.
We're dedicated to having fun here on IFAF, just like we're dedicated to serving you when it's time to sell your home. Mike Helps Idaho. And when it's time to make your move, we can help you too.
We know Idaho Falls, and we know the current real estate market. We'll guide you through the process with ease and confidence. And we're backed and brokered by Keller Williams Realty East Idaho.
Looking to sell your home in 2025? Make your move with Mike Helps Idaho. Link in post.
Do you want locally raised beef to feed your family through the winter? Right now, Virgin River Land and Cattle Company is offering 25-pound butcher boxes with steaks, roasts, and ground beef.
You can have your very own farm-to-table experience. Find Virgin River Land and Cattle Company on Facebook. New customers use promo code IFAF to save 15% on your first purchase.
Proud to donate $500 to the Snake River Animal Shelter for every Spud Kings home game hat trick.
Who would you rather rely on for your Idaho Falls fiber internet service? An out-of-state company or the best local choice, QuickNet?
Right now, get QuickNet's Crazy Fast 250 service for $37 a month or their Crazy Fast Gig service for $49 a month.
Unlimited data, no setup fee, no term contract, net neutrality, and hometown-friendly support. For Idaho Falls fiber, choose QuickNet. New customers, use code IFAF to save 15% on your first 3 months.
Do you love Idaho Falls as much as we do? Show it with unique homegrown hometown tea from Teton T-shirts.
Including these cool vintage versions of the Civic Auditorium, the West Bank, and the Water Tower. Our famous potato sack design and the classic iHeart IFT. Check out Teton T-shirts. These exclusive designs are not available in gift shops.
So head to TetonT-shirts.com, Lincoln Post. Created in Idaho Falls for Idaho Falls.
All right, back at it. Cool cats, sly dogs, jet setters, trendsetters.
Idaho Falls, IFAF.
I like that fade out, fade away.
That's fun,
It needs like a pool splash.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
We're a little late on this, but we want to show you, just for the record and for the eye candy, the winners of the 13th annual Driggs Snowscapes competition, where everyone's a winner. Because it really is cool.
Well, yeah, because we all get to go in and see how cool this is. Well,
we don't have a beach here. We can't do sandcastle competitions. Yeah, sand
but
sculpting.
We can do this.
We can do this. The People's Choice and the Kids' Choice was for Team SF Snow Angels and their sculpture, Guardian.
Yeah, which was such a cool one. And I could have sworn that I saw an illustration of this somewhere.
It looks haunting. Yeah. I don't know if hauntingly familiar or not, but
she's
very
cool. She's a
pretty
little fairy lady with a mushroom hat and a little frog on top of her head.
Third place by Team On the Rocks, Dirt Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Is that four wolves? I've heard of three wolves howling at the moon, but four?
I mean, that's something.
You get out of here.
That's a whole family of wolves.
Might
that's
even
a
say
wolf pack on that dirt pack.
Second place by Team Winter Storm Warning, Turtle Island.
Which was a cool one. I really like how friendly the turtle looks. I know there's that whole like legend of the earth sitting on a turtle's back.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think that that's the universe that Stephen King's It lives in, weirdly enough, where like the turtle is the god of it. It's weird.
Huh.
As weird as it is, that's weirder.
Then first place by Team Nobody Snows.
I love a good pun.
Natural Selection.
That was pretty cool.
It's got a big old, is that a crocodile or an alligator? I never know.
I think it's a crocodile because the nose looks a little more rounded. Alligators have a slightly more pointy nose, but I didn't look that close at it. And to be fair, from the side, it's easier to see it with the jaws closed. Yeah. Where the jaws open here, it's a little harder to tell. So.
And a lion with a glorious mane.
Yeah.
Is that Aslan?
Probably.
Well done, Air Buddy. We'll put a link to the post so that you can see them with your own special eyes if you're just listening.
You know, I have to wonder if the way that the concept of that last one came up was, who do you think would win in a fight? An alligator or a lion or a crocodile?
Well, they're both apex predators, right? One's in a...
One's a mammal, one's a reptile.
One's in the water and one's...
Yeah, one's on land. That's the point.
In the Sahara?
Safari?
There's Sahara, safari, savannah.
Savannah, okay.
Is the word I'm thinking of. But I have seen a jaguar rip a crocodile out of the water and eat it.
That sounds right.
Just like those
cats will go over and like steal someone's fish and like walk around with it slapping them in the face.
Damn nature, you scary.
Damn nature, you scary.
Nature DGAF.
Ain't that the truth?
Did you hear about this? And I'm so happy about this. Costco is bringing back Coca-Cola. They've had Pepsi for the last 13 years in their food court.
I'm so glad.
They're bringing back Coke, baby. Yeah.
Okay. Now, as someone who doesn't like Coke or Pepsi, in the sense of I'm not really a cola kind of gal, I do think that Coke tends to have a better selection of, you know, secondary sodas.
Okay.
So I'm
like
also...
Sprite.
Yes, I like Sprite. I like Sprite and I like root beer. So,
yeah.
You know, Pepsi doesn't really have a good one of either of those, but Coke does. So...
Big fan. Can't wait to go. And the $1.50 price, going to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Excited about that. And then, can we talk about the Detroit rapper, Dank DeMoss?
Which, can I lovingly point out that her name does kind of sound like dumbass? Like...
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. We're not saying she is a dumbass.
No, but like when I... As
but
soon
that'd be
as
an
you
easy
said
joke.
It to me, I said... Wait, is the joke? I genuinely thought that maybe that was like a pun or she was trying to be funny or something.
That certainly could be the name of a rapper in a Mel Brooks movie.
Right. Like, I sort of assumed...
With thinly veiled puns for names.
Yeah, I sort of assumed that it was kind of a jokey joke where they were like, ha ha ha, dank dumbass. You know, like, you smoke some dank and then you're a dumbass. Well, I don't know.
First, let's tell you the story. Now, her weight is important here to the story because her weight equals her size. And for you to visualize this experience, it's important. Mm-hmm. She is anywhere you look, she's in between 550 pounds, 554, and 489.
Right.
So that's she's living that 500 pound life no matter which way you slice it.
Right.
She called a Lyft. I think that's also not an Uber. Want to get our names right here. She called a Lyft. The guy that showed up, we believe, was in a Mercedes C-Class. That's the compact sedan. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have a Mercedes C-Class, but I do have the Honda Civic of the luxury car world, the BMW 3 Series.
Right, right.
And before you think I'm flexing, it's 15 years old.
It would be in high school by now.
But I do.
It'd probably be going to parties and like stealing the other kids' parents' booze.
Having some dank.
Yeah, right.
Like a dumbass. We're talking about two different things here. We're talking about someone's feelings and we're talking about logistics. But I'm pretty sure I don't think a person her size could fit in my back seat, which is where she was going.
Not very comfortable.
When the Lyft driver locked the door and said, no, sorry, I'll refund your money, but I can't take you on this trip. Mm-hmm. And she said, what are you talking about? I know my size. I know I can fit in there. And he's like, no, you can't. And then he said, he made up some excuse about his tires. And she videoed the whole thing. Once he said, I'm not going to pick you up and give you a ride, that's when she started videoing. But we want to show you this. Here she is in the passenger seat of a rather sizable truck, but almost barely fit in the passenger seat of a rather sizable truck. I'm not sure she could have fit.
Humans are squishy. Like, she probably could have. True. She probably could have made it work comfortably, maybe not, but also, like, who cares if she's willing to pay for it, I guess. And there are actual logistic issues that go into this thing, specifically the axle weight on the car.
Yeah. It's called a MAM, and I didn't write down what that stands for, but that's basically the weight that can go inside the car that the axles can support.
Right.
And I think it was like 1,000 pounds in the back.
Yeah.
And if over half of that is on one side.
Well, one quadrant, because it'd be on one side and in one upper or lower half.
Yeah, but if there's
half,
two axles.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I guess I'm talking about, yeah. You know, that does become a logistics issue. Let's talk about just size, period. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a 6 foot tall, under 200 pound man, and I'm uncomfortable in airplane seats.
Right.
I'm really uncomfortable at a show at the Civic Auditorium.
You know what? My dad fought real hard to get the bigger seats.
Yeah.
And thank goodness he did, because any smaller and that would be insane.
Certain masks can only occupy certain volume.
Right.
So I kind of get it. I also get, though, that in Michigan, weight is sort of a protected class.
Right.
And I don't believe Lyft drivers are supposed to refuse service based on a protected class. But I also think that because it's not a Lyft employee, it's a contracted employee, it's their car.
You know, that's the point that I want to get at here, is at the end of the day, if damage was done to that person's car, who's paying that?
Yeah.
Sure, she ain't Lyft, the multi-million dollar company. It's that one guy.
Uh-huh. Somebody throws up in your Lyft, you're cleaning it up.
Right. Well, and not only that, but like at most, this is a $20 ride, and that could be a $200, $2,000 repair, depending on what happens.
And here's the most damning thing is the public opinion. You go to her Instagram, and people are flooding her with, oh, girl, no, you didn't.
Right.
One Lyft driver made a point like, I refused a fare once to a girl who was only dressed in a thong.
Right.
You know, she's like, I transport my kids in that same car. You know?
Yeah.
So a lot of people saying it's a publicity stunt. Ain't nobody ever heard of Dank DeMoss before this.
Right.
I have yet to listen to any of her music, but apparently she's a performer in nightclubs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to hear some of her stuff, see if it's any better than, you know, the AI songs that we inevitably tack on to the end of every episode. I wonder what it'll be this time.
You know, I wonder if you should try to make one in the style of Dank DeMoss.
Maybe we will. I liked last episode's AI song.
Yeah.
I just sort of, and really, I wrote it after the episode. We were talking about how cold it was.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it did end up being about a 2-week cold snap. And can we all agree we're grateful to be back up into the double digits?
Yeah. On the positive side.
What a difference it is between 10 above. And it was like 35 above when we left Museum of Idaho tonight.
Oh, it was actually really nice. And at night, it's just by so the nice. Way.
Yeah, the at 10 o'clock at night.
The sun was down and it was still double digits. Oh, that was cozy in my soul.
But maybe we'll write a song. And we just want to mention, for the record, in case it's not clear, I feel like sometimes we don't have to say these things, but then I listen to other podcasters who over-explain their feelings. So we'll say it. We condemn discrimination of any kind. Ever.
Right.
All right.
I am really intrigued to see how this case will play out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the guy who just didn't want his stuff to get ruined doesn't get totally boned in this. But you know what? I hope what happens is that Lyft is now responsible for taking care of car repairs.
Right.
Yeah. Actually has to protect their employees a little.
So it's finally here. We get to talk about your B-Day trip.
It was so fantastic.
We were talking about the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Always wanted to see it.
Yeah. Well, and as an Exmo, it's something that I was kind of intrigued by, especially because when it first came out, I was fully in it. And I was like, how dare they? And then I went and saw it. And I was like, okay, this is hilarious and super fun.
Well, we might as well start from the beginning, which is Trey Parker as a college student in Colorado.
Right.
Who encountered several people of the LDS faith. And, you know, look, I mean, he's an equal opportunity offender. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make fun of everybody and anybody.
Right.
And do it in a hilarious way in pretty much everything. South Park. What's the All About the Mormons episode? Season 7, episode 12. Dum, 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 dum.
Yeah.
And then, what Carly didn't know, did we watch Orgasmo before or after?
We watched Orgasmo first. And I think that was the first movie that they did. Correct?
Yeah. Well, it was actually Trey Parker's second movie because he did Cannibal the Musical.
Oh, which we still haven't seen.
It's great.
And you know I love me a musical.
Yeah.
So, like, I love me a critter and I love me a musical.
Spadoinkle.
That's why I love cats so much.
You are going to love Spadoinkle Day.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
It's a runaway hit. And it actually starts with that, I think, and the whole rest of the musical is downhill from there.
I mean, let's watch it tonight after the show.
But Orgasmo is basically the story of an LDS missionary who becomes unwittingly a porn star.
Yeah.
But not really, but kind of.
Kind of. Which, okay, so am I to understand here that Trey Parker was not actually a Mormon?
No.
Just encountered them and thought they were fascinating?
Correct.
Okay, that explains a lot because he gets a lot of things totally wrong about Mormonism.
Yeah, and I just want to mention that even before all of this, I refer you to South Park Season 4, Episode 10, where the kids are in hell, and the new arrivals ask, well, who was right? Because there are a lot of surprised people there, obviously.
Right.
And the main demon in charge looks at his list and says, it was the Mormons. Yes, I'm sorry, the Mormons, everybody. They were right. So I'm pretty sure Trey just does whatever the funny joke is.
I agree.
That said, it was a trip to watch the Book of Mormon. And I know we're 14 years late, but it was a trip to watch it in Salt Lake City because there actually is a song called Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. And every time, of course, Salt Lake City or any, you know, main sort of premise of Mormon behavior is mentioned, the crowd just went wild and laughed. And I will say that a lot of the things in Book of Mormon didn't have to be about Mormons. It could have been about anybody, like the song Turn It Off.
Right, yeah.
Like a light switch, turn it off.
But also that is totally like a big thing in Mormonism.
Yeah, well, but it was a big thing in my Christian family growing up.
Fair.
Catholic family. You know, we all stuff our feelings or ignore them completely.
Right. Ignore those sinful thoughts, you dirty, dirty beastie.
And our service to God and others.
Yeah.
So that's my quick review. What about yours?
Okay. So like I said, I did used to be a devout member of the Mormon faith, and there were lots of parts of it that I definitely saw. And I was like, dude, like, did you not do any research? You know, I was a little offended by the fact that they were announcing where the missionaries were going after the MTC.
That's not how it works.
Right, right. Like, there was a huge part of me that was like, you don't even know what you're talking about. How dare you?
There's a scene about the spooky Mormon hell dream.
Which that is my favorite song, by the way, out of the whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
But you were upset that they didn't mention outer darkness.
Yes.
In the entire thing.
Okay. Yeah. So that was another big thing. So in Mormonism, there's not really a hell. You know, like we colloquially will refer to it as hell, but the actual technical term is outer darkness. And there's no like hellfire or brimstone or like devils poking you with their pitchforks.
But that's what this depiction totally was.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But like Mormon hell is just black. It is being away from God and that being the true punishment.
Almost like, as Taylor Swift didn't originate but made famous, the expression, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
Yes.
Just being completely isolated.
Yeah. I mean,
that may be scarier than...
It's basically solitary confinement in the dark.
Like my worst fear would be going on a spacewalk in outer space, right, and being disconnected like Dave at the end of 2001. Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, it's only from like, what, yeah, the 60s?
1969.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, oh, shit, I'm alive and I'm just going to feel myself slowly die now.
You know, at that point, I would just
but
take off
the helmet.
But that
feeling for eternity.
Yeah. So there were a couple of things that I feel like you'd only get if you were raised in the church. And that makes a lot more sense that he wasn't really raised in it, but was fascinated by it because he does a couple of things that like would never happen in true Mormonism. Like the fact that the companions split up even for a second and the other missionaries are like, well, it's fine because he's getting the job done. You know, like at that point they'd be like, well, clearly he's only getting the job done because he's f***ing everyone or something horrible like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
there were a few cute, like in Orgasmo, there's a really cute exchange between the man on his mission, who's Trey Parker, and his girlfriend back home who's waiting for him.
Right.
She always says before she hangs up, Jesus and I love you, which I actually thought was
super cute,
super sweet. And in the Book of Mormon, the Josh Gad character,
yes,
talks about how his mom would always say, well, tomorrow's a latter day. Things that I'm not sure, I highly doubt.
No real devout Mormon would actually say.
Well, and I want to say this too. Seeing these things and watching these parodies do not change my feelings or love for my good LDS friends in the least bit.
You know, there is definitely a part of me that is really grateful for growing up in the church, you know, because I think that it did instill some... I think it made me a much more thoughtful person than I might have otherwise been.
And I mean, I love Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Right.
I love Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 1, where they do the Inquisition.
Yeah.
Pretty much any faith can be parodied, and it's not really going to change my feelings.
Right. I thought it was super funny, especially as someone who was raised in it. There were lots of parts of it that really rang true with me. You know, especially the But Mostly Me song.
Yes.
Where he sings about how he's going to change the world and he's going to help everyone on his Mormon mission and stuff. Like, I saw so many young men leave my church, go on their mission. They're like, I'm going to help so many people. You know, it was that sweet and, you know, so optimistic view.
Yes. Well, and in a way, self-centered.
A little bit.
And that's just young people in general.
Yes.
They're young, dumb, and full of optimism.
Yes.
And naivety. Naivete.
Yeah.
Psycho Sullivan. But yeah.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of the traits that he attributed to just LDS people could be attributed to people.
Youths in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was a really fun play. It was super funny. It was... you know, it felt a lot like a live-action South Park episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the music was great.
And they had some cheap, crude jokes like, you know, we have here
on
IFAF. And I'm sure that some people rolled their eyes at those, but I was like,
you know what? One thing that really pissed me off, you're telling me that 15 years ago, you didn't have Google Translate and you just had to come up with Hasa Diga Ibowe instead of what it actually means according to the play, which it's a nonsense sentence.
It is a nonsense phrase. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's not that hard to Google that phrase in like Swahili or Afrikaans or whatever language. I don't know what they speak in.
Where did they go? Uganda. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like a butt. I should really know this.
Should you? Did you go on your mission there?
No, but I mean, like, I feel like a dumb American not knowing my geography.
And maybe it was because the missionaries went to Africa on their mission, but there were definitely a few Lion King references in there.
Yes.
But then there were a couple of Star Wars references in there. Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's because one character is a huge nerd, which I did. Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, if you don't know, Josh Gad played Olaf in Frozen. So you can put a voice to the name.
And he played, this character who sort of slightly misinterpreted the Book of Mormon in order for people to receive it a little bit better.
Yeah. But, at the end, a lot of people decided to embrace it. So good for them.
Anyway, I think two thumbs up from us.
Yeah. And can I just say that I was totally right about how I saw the picture of Josh Gad. And what a good actor, because he's so expressive in this still frame that I knew exactly how his character was. And I said, he looks like a sweet summer child. And guess what? That's exactly what his character is. So you go, Josh Gad.
And then while we were on a Trey Parker, South Park, Book of Mormon kick, we also watched basketball.
Yeah, and Primeval America, or American Primeval.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we watched Heretic, which the church doesn't approve of. We went to see Book of Mormon. So we've started, and we finished, right? Yeah.
Yes, we started and finished American Primeval, and we did just barely start Under the Banner of Heaven. With Andrew Garfield in it, by the way, which I was not expecting, but okay.
Back to American Primeval. Is that Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Netflix. It's about the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
Yeah.
It stars, Brigham Young is a pretty big figure in this. Mm-hmm. Fictionalized account.
Yeah, I will say.
So is Jim Bridger.
I could tell pretty quick into it that it was like dramatized and a little bit more than, there's no way they would have known some of this stuff.
But I think Yellowstone is such a big deal right now.
Right. My mom keeps telling me to watch Yellowstone. We need to watch it.
Nathan told us to watch it for this Pocatello land grab thing. So, but now we're watching all the stuff the church doesn't approve of. Just to put it on. We get on themes, you see.
Yeah.
So we're going to finish Under the Banner of Heaven, which I really wanted to watch.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield. Mm-hmm. And then I guess, I don't want to say the town was empty, but we were there on a Saturday night to Sunday morning, and I guess JT was in town.
Yeah.
He may have even been staying at our hotel.
I mean, probably. It's the only 5-star hotel in all of Salt Lake City.
And let's talk about that. And Sundance, too, was going on.
Yeah.
We stayed at the Grand America, and the reason I want to mention this is money is precious sometimes, and you save up for these things.
Right.
And you budget for these things. And oftentimes, you want to make sure you're getting the maximum value for the money you're spending.
Right.
There's only one 5-star hotel in Salt Lake City, and that's the Grand America. Mm-hmm. There are other 5-star hotels in Park City.
Right.
And Southern Utah, but they run $1,500 to $3,000 a night.
Right. So Grand for America, a fraction of the price, you get to be in the big city, baby.
Is $300 a night. And if you use your hotels.com one-key discount rewards, it could be $250. So
yeah, you can get a sick deal.
It's a great value. And then they've got this at least citywide famous Sunday brunch at the Laurel Brasserie right downstairs. Like, you don't have to leave the hotel. Yeah. There's a sundry shop. There's a bar. There's a restaurant.
There's high tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coffee shop. And I think the Sunday brunch it could be $65. It could be $69. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. Yeah.
But check this out. Where else can you get an omelet and a prime rib and these desserts?
Oh, and the best macarons. The best macarons.
These waffles. And
a nice crepe.
And look at all this seafood. It's not really about, I don't think you eat $65 worth of food. I think you can.
Yeah.
But it's about the unlimited choice.
Yeah.
That you have laid before you. You almost feel a little guilty.
Yeah. And that salmon tartare that they had was just fantastic.
It's amazing.
I went back for seconds of that because it was so good.
And then this band plays.
Yeah. And they're so good and they're so fun. And they were playing the theme song to, what's that one with the puppets?
Okay, speaking of South Park, yeah. So I'm standing in line waiting for a crepe and I start singing, America, fuck yeah. Yeah. I thought, why am I singing that? The band was playing it, which is brilliant because you can get away with a lot when you only play instrumentals.
Yeah, which also they like to play a little bit of jizz sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Like the Star Wars Cantina music genre is jizz. Uh-huh. As much as Disney tries to retcon it as something else.
Yeah, matter of fact, I even found that vintage banner that I sent to you.
Oh, yeah.
That says, I love jizz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back before, you know. The South Park guys got a hold of that word.
Yep. Whoops.
Anyway, it's a great value, and we'll just throw that out there. And we went to our favorite place afterwards. It's not, you know, Fashion Place Mall or City Creek necessarily. It's a great mall, but there's this place, Station Park.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Centerville, Farmington area.
About that area.
Let's say Farming. Just
yeah, you get off of the same exit that you would for a lagoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then go a different way.
Yeah.
And it's just fantastic. It's got this place called It's Sugar.
Which is so fun.
With bulk Pez? What?
Yeah.
In fact, we picked up a couple things for future treat times.
Yes. And they're very exciting. I'm so stoked.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
And of course, you have to end with some In-N-Out.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah.
You know about their secret menu. So, of course, they have a chocolate shake, vanilla shake, and strawberry shake. But did you know you can get the Neapolitan?
Oh, and it's so good.
I don't know what order they fill it in, but if you take the straw and start sucking and do this with the cup.
And does it taste like jizz?
No. Tastes like Neapolitan. But I bet the internet could have some fun with what I just did.
Now, I think all it right. goes chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, because I had to work my way up to strawberry. You know, I know good. I did a... Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what? All right, let's hit this. And that's the jingle. Jingling. It can only mean one thingling.
It's treat time. Such a neat time. Better than smelling feet time.
Today we're trying Snickers pecan. Is it as packed with pecans as the other is with peanuts?
It's treat time.
Jazz hands, spirit fingers. Funny story behind this. Uh-huh. I thought I got one like a month ago.
Right.
Looked down at it the other day. I think it was in with the Snickers pecans, but it was a regular share size Snickers with two bars.
Right. Like someone had picked up the original and had seen that and set that one down and picked up one of these.
And then, so I had one of those moments where, Am I high? Was I on psilocybin?
Psilocybin.
Psilocybin?
One of them.
Yes, Snickers pecan bars exist, and we're going to try one. Damn it.
And can I point out how nice it is that this is segmented into two parts? Because then we don't
share size.
Yeah. Well, and how great it is to share. Want you to have the first bite.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, you lucky boy.
Does this live up? Where's these nuts?
Tain't no nuts?
I don't think I got any.
Give me a nibble.
Are we sharing the same one?
Yeah, let's share the same one.
Great.
Then they can prove that we're in the same studio, because look, that is a mic-sized bite.
Okay, wait a minute.
But right through the Snickers vein.
But what I am getting is that pecan flavor. Did they just put pecan pie mix in with the... Oh, I killed it.
That's okay.
I'm a dick.
Okay. I'm feeling nut particles with my tongue.
There
are nuts in here. They're just very, very, very small.
Okay.
I guess I was expecting them to be more intact. It's like when you go to the dentist and he's got his fingers in your mouth and he's like, how's your day?
Yeah. So what have you been up to?
Right.
We'll finish and then it does have a really nice, like, pecan aftertaste. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, pecan pie, no way.
I loved pecan pie as a kid.
But now, my palate, I don't know, it's changed, more refined, whatever. Mm-hmm. I do kind of like that nutty taste. It's a bit nutty.
See, I liked the maple to it. Because when I was a kid, one of my favorite treats was like a maple eclair donut. Specifically, the kind that was shoved with a, or stuffed with vanilla pudding.
Okay, that's what I'm, thank you for identifying that. I couldn't put my finger on it, but is there maple in pecan pie?
Sure is.
Okay, that's
so what. So I loved pecan pie as a kid.
Can we hit some more of this?
Hell yeah, we can.
Let's party.
I'm getting the first bite first, though.
Do it.
Right through the Snickers vein.
This is a nice fresh one, too. Oh, as is evidenced by the caramel. I'll tell you when you got it all. You got it. What a pro you are. Wow.
Thank you.
Okay. I now, actually saw some pecan. We were talking
about people photoshopping something earlier. They're going to photoshop that. You see some pecan?
Yeah.
You I see it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, to be fair, pecans are a much softer nut than peanuts. So it makes sense that they might be a little harder to detect. But I could definitely, like, feel some with my tongue before. Don't laugh.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Is it your birthday?
Woo, woo, woo. Every so often, you'll taste a limited edition candy or item that comes out. And you'll hope it sticks around.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those. Mm. I would have this. That?
The thing that I think of are those Snickerdoodle Flips pretzels. Oh!
Those ones we had for treat time at Christmas.
They were so good.
This is really nice. I would choose this over a regular Snickers any day. Mm.
You know what? I don't know if I would. It is fantastic, but I do feel like the peanut in the other Snickers balances out the chocolate nougat in that. Whereas this one, it feels a little too, I don't know, it feels almost too nougat heavy.
This almost tastes like, you know, it came from a box of chocolates.
Wait, at the very end, that is really nice. And I do taste that little extra maple.
You know when you get the maple creams from the box and they're good?
Yeah.
Add caramel and pecans to it. That's what you got here.
That's pretty damn good.
All right. Well, what's my least favorite thing in the world?
Sticky hands.
That's right. So let's wrap this up. What's coming up?
Love it. All right. So we've got the annual Lava Hot Springs Fire and Ice Winter Fest, which is back with activities for the whole family, by the way, this weekend, February 7th and 8th. And both days will have a market fair and a variety of food trucks. On Friday, you can choose between a beer tasting or a wine tasting, which is always kind of fun. I think that sort of divides you into the two genders. Just kidding. Let's see here. And then they've got the original Harlem Globetrotters 2025 World Tour presented by Jersey Mike's Subs at the Mac. I'm not going to say the full name because that takes too much time. That's going on this Saturday at 2 p.m. And there's going to be a Lego build thing for kids from 2 to 5 at Idaho's Innovation Center on Yellowstone Highway. It's going to be $25 for the heart ornament, which is very cute, by the way, and a $30 for the love bears, which I will admit is even cuter. So maybe fork out the other $5.
So it's like a Valentine's Day event.
Yeah.
And a if you like Lego and Valentine's.
If you like Legos and love.
It's perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our show.
Okay.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Toodaloo, my dudes.
If I wanna ride in your Mercedes, boy, tell me what I gotta do.
In the back of your C-Class, where I'm gonna fit all this ass.
Yeah.
In the back of your C-Class, where I'm gonna fit all this ass. In the back of your C-Class, I'm finna put this dank ass.
Yeah. Yo, this dang dumbass, I be all AI. Straight as Chevron, gas sweet as pecan pie. Don't be scared, baby, let's see if this fits. I'll get it all in if I do the splits. In the back of your C-Class, where I'm gonna fit all this ass. In the back of your C-Class, I'm finna put this dang ass. It's cold out here, but it's nice and warm in. Your car so let me in like I'm a Mormon. You think I won't fit? I thought we were vibing. Now you got me tripping like I'm on psilocybin. In the back of your C-Class, where I'm gonna fit all this ass. In the back of your C-Class, I'm finna put this dang ass. Mass. Just let me get it, accept this gift, or I'm gonna win, I'll sue you and lift. You think I can't fit in all these butts? Boy, you can suck Mercedes nuts, or I'm gonna win, I'll sue you and lift. You think I can't fit in all these butts? Boy, you can suck Mercedes nuts.